Grace, to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you ever decide and you want to sit down and figure out the dates of all the biblical events on our own Gregorian calendar system, you eventually run into some pure choices. The Bible, as almost every ancient document that you would use to do that, fixes time in relation to other major events. Roman events would be recorded ab urbe condita, from the founding of the city. Or alternately, as Luke would add in the reference in his first book, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. That's when John the Baptist began calling out in the wilderness. Most ancient events would be keyed like that. In the year King Uzziah died, that's when Isaiah's prophetic call came. Now, you might think that that wouldn't be so hard. And there are just enough date signals throughout the Bible and in other ancient works that we actually have that some fixed events can be established pretty good. Like 753 BC, that would be the foundation of the city, Rome being the city. But you inevitably hit the question, when does a reign start? Does a reign start immediately upon the death of the old monarch? Does a reign start upon the ascension to the throne? Or does the reign start at a coronation? Would the second Elizabethan age end in 2022 or 2023? Would the third Carolinian begin in 2022 or 2023? And you'll have to answer questions like that for cultures Egyptian, Persian, Neo-Babylonian, Assyrian, Israeli, Judean, and a few others. And different cultures had different dating customs. And some long-lived ones, if a monarch lasts past her diamond jubilee, say, or if they've had a revolution and a restoration, even forget how it was done and change something. I think this is me. There we go. At least a little bit. If I'm not loud enough, I apologize. To put a date on events, you eventually will have to decide and move on. If in a fit of madness such a task ever overtakes you, Bishop Usher has already done all of the hard work, by the way. You can pick up his roughly 1,000-page tome, The Annals of the World. But for our purposes this morning, we will just accept some of the mystery. That some things start early. Await for their anointing. And yet, still long for full reception. Luke, like the good bishop, is something of a meticulous man. And in his first book, that's what we call the Gospel according to Luke, he tells of all that Jesus began to do and teach until he was taken up. How Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. Does this kingdom of God begin in its fullness at the ascension? Or does it await the anointing of the Holy Spirit? Or does it still long for its full recognition? The testimony of Scripture, captured in the Creed, as he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, is that the kingdom of God has come in its fullness now. That fullness is defined as all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus Christ. In our text for today, Luke tells us of this ascension and the coronation through the eyes of the apostles on earth, which is rather short. While they were looking, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. If you want the rest, if you actually want to see closer, like we were able with cameras to see closer to Charles's coronation, you have to turn to Revelation chapters 4 and 5. The elders and the four living creatures and all of heaven asking who is worthy to open the scroll and read the proclamation and weeping when no one is found. And just then, the Lamb appears. He takes the scroll and the throne on the right. And the prophet hears every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them say to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. As of ascension, the kingdom has come in its fullness. So why does it not always feel like it? I think the answer comes down to a difference between the kingly decrees that we want to hear and the decrees that we have actually been given. What do we want to hear? Lord, will you now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? If we're going to have a king, we want a right proper one. One with full evident power and full authority, and one that has the full glory of a regal court. A court that would include me. What's the purpose of sitting at the right hand of God with everything under your feet if you aren't going to share some of that power and authority with your own people? Restore the kingdom to Israel. That's the decree that we want. And maybe you are a much nicer person than I am. Would be a much more graceful lord or lady. But if such authority was vested in me now, I'm pretty sure I'd be following the advice of the world and consolidating power and making conscription lists of all the people I don't like. Forget leaving the wheat and the weeds to grow until the harvest. Send the reapers out now. Forget giving the mustard seed a season to grow. I'm harvesting blood now. The kingdom has certainly come to Israel, but not the kingdom of power. Instead, what has come, had come that day already, is the kingdom of the Spirit, which has a power all its own. That's the first part of the decree of what we have been given. Wait for the promise of the Father. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
For those apostles, that was 10 days hence. Well, 7 days, since we're observing Ascension on a Sunday. It'll come on Pentecost. The first part of the royal decree is that all Israel is going to be anointed. The same way that Jesus was anointed at his baptism, and he was enabled to carry out his mission in the power of the Spirit, we too have been anointed to carry out the mission of the kingdom in this age. And the mission of the kingdom in this age is not separating the wheat from the chaff. The mission is not firmly establishing rule from coast to coast. The mission is not forcing every knee to bow and tongue to confess. Remember, according to the vision from heaven, everybody is already bowing and confessing. It's already a reality. Your God reigns. The Lamb is upon the throne. Every creature in heaven and upon earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them already offers their praise. The mission of the kingdom in this age is to enable and to prepare hearts to offer that praise with joy. That notice of revelation of every creature includes those under the earth. It includes all that is in heaven and earth, which would include Satan and his demons. They know. They've been defeated. And they offer the king praise. But the coronation of the Lord for them is not the day of joy. The mission of the kingdom in this age is to enable and prepare hearts such that it is a day of joy for us. Not a day full of fear and dread. The decree that we have been given is, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We don't know the length of time of this mission, but we do know the mission. The time is not for us to know. The Father has fixed it by his own authority. But we have been given the power to witness to the hope, to the joy that lives within us. Christ lives, and we too shall live. Now, we might ask how. How have we been given this power? Israel, the people of God, seem to be chased from place to place in every age. And I'm going to steal from Matthew's Ascension Day some of the how. The same royal decree is given, make disciples of all nations. Be those witnesses from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And if the world is chasing you somewhere else, it might just be chasing you to fruitful soil, to where God wants you to do that work. But Matthew's Jesus does continue. How do we make disciples? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to observe everything I have commanded. Baptize and teach. The mission of the kingdom in this age is to keep the faith, to live it as witnesses before the world. To baptize such that the promise of the Father is given to his people. And to teach such that we might have oil in our lamps when the bridegroom returns. to teach, so that we might understand the joy which has been given to us by the grace of the Father. That's the mission of the kingdom now. It's a kingdom whose full power right now is hidden under water, under bread and wine. It's a kingdom that limits its power to the word, even more so to the word relayed by representatives like us, relayed in what we teach and in the lives that we are empowered to live by the Holy Spirit. Today, it's a kingdom of faith. Tomorrow, this Jesus, who has taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way you saw him go. Tomorrow, the kingdom comes in its full power and glory, riding on the clouds with multitudes of angels. Does the kingdom of God begin in its fullness at the ascension? Absolutely. Everything has been placed under Christ's feet. Does the kingdom await the anointing of the Holy Spirit? This is how that kingdom comes to us, in word and sacrament. Does the kingdom still long for full recognition? Some days too much. Come quickly. Dating the beginning of reigns can be tough. Luckily, we don't need to do it again, because this king reigns forever and ever. Amen.